This is the first time that Vamsi Dari Prabhu has had a service like this, and he's really nervous. So if he makes mistakes, pat him on the head, because he's trying really hard. And so far he's already made a million mistakes, just ask him. It's something like, I remember the first time, you probably also have had a similar experience, many of you. The first time I gave class, boy was I nervous. It was at the Brooklyn Temple. It was an afternoon Bhagavad Gita class for the, then it was the ISKCON Press, and all these very exalted devotees that were really qualified persons working at the press, and that was their schedule. They had an afternoon Bhagavad Gita class, so I was asked, boy was I nervous. It was like a 45 minute class schedule, and my class was 12 minutes. I was sweating, and afterwards I asked Jayadwaita Maharaj, who was attending the class, how did it go? He encouraged me. Sometimes he doesn't do that. But he encouraged me and he said, it was very nice. You just said what Prabhupada said and didn't fabricate anything. It was very nice. I thought, oh, okay. That's the standard, huh? Okay. So, you're doing great, Vamsi Dari. There will be more devotees coming to participate, coming from distant places. There's already some devotees here from assorted distant places in Florida and Texas and Boston and Timbuktu and, you know, some really far away places. So thank you all for coming to our place of pilgrimage, Gitanagari Dham. For those of you that missed the preparing for the retreat last night because you were preparing to get to the retreat, still in transit, one message that I spoke about is a kind of a entry point into this topic this morning. Getting in touch with our inner self, that's a phrase that expresses what self-realization, Prabhupada's teaching is self-realization and God-realization. They occur simultaneously, like the rising of the sun and seeing the sun and seeing oneself. They occur simultaneously. Without the sun, you can't see. When the sun rises, then you can see the sun and you can see yourself. So, what's the goal? The soul in contact with the Supreme Soul, Krishna, in an active relationship of service from our side and the blessings of the personality of Godhead descending upon us in the form of a relationship, restoring that relationship. But we have to get to the platform of the soul, and not just the platitudes of talking about it, but actually entering into that transcendental realm. Refer to a verse, so this is still the theme. Chidyante, bidyante, cutting, piercing, breaking the bonds of the covering. Just by the process of hearing and remembering. Remembering is something that we've forgotten. not memorizing like a mechanical something, but remembering that which we've forgotten. Our relationship with Krishna is forgotten, although it's the nearest and dearest thing to us. He's our dearmost friend. Suradam sarvadehinam. He's the dearmost friend, and we've forgotten him. So, retreat is Krishna has invited us. Please come and enter into a deeper, active exchange of love with your dearmost friend, Krishna. And we said yes, and here we are. Can something be done about that conversation? I'm sure it's important, but it can take place somewhere else. I've had a very unusual morning, so I may express myself in ways that are a little different. So please be prepared, and please excuse me if I become a little strong. It started with this morning during Mangalarti, where I was thinking about this presentation, where the message that I'm going to pass on to you is it's a how-to session, how to join the chanting of the holy name with a transcendental GPS system that Krishna has given of how to get to the goal. It's a blend. It's not even like a piggyback. It's a in bringing into your heart a GPS system that built in. Lord Chaitanya gave a system of how to reach the goal, even when you don't even know what the goal is, because he's. I just learned something about GPS. It's like avoid technology like the plague, but somehow it's got that's on my hands now. So the first thing you have to do is put in the destination, because the GPS figures out where you are, but it's not going to help you until you put in the destination. So what's the goal? Like, you know, Krishna prema. That's the goal. Dasa, dasanu, dasa. That's the goal. Become the servant of the servant of the servant. And guess what? You're at the goal. If you touch the lotus feet of Krishna, that's not possible unless you're in that mood of the servant of the servant of the servant. And Krishna shows his feet. Here I am. Love springs from that. Until then, what do we know about what that experience is of Krishna prema, touching in a humble mood Krishna's feet? We won't have a clue. We'll imagine so many things. It's something like, so again, I apologize for my mood this morning. it's something like the idea of going to heaven. What's that? Ask different people, you get all kinds of different ideas of what going to heaven means. But that's what you're supposed to be like, go to heaven. Just this morning I heard Prabhupada saying a Christian preacher went to a Sheffield, a place in England, as a preacher. And he was telling people, if you don't accept Christ, you'll go to hell. That was, you know, the entry point. So they said, well, what's hell? And then he started describing what hell is. And it sounded like the coal mine, where they were mining coal to get to make steel at Sheffield. You know, it's dark and it's cold and it's, you know, in a very unfriendly atmosphere. Well, that's where we were, you know. And then he said, there's no newspaper. And he said, oh, horrible, horrible. You better accept Christ because there's no newspaper in hell. What do we know? What heaven and what do we know? What the goal is? And so this morning, by some arrangement of Krishna, because the presentation I'm going to make today was like in my thought process, I was meditating on the meaning of the words deeply. I mean, a little more deeply than I usually do. Not so deeply, but a little more deeply than I usually do. So the last line of our Mangalarti song, Yasya Prasada Bhagavat Prasada. Then, Yasya Aprasada Nagatikatopi. That means, without the mercy of the spiritual master, you won't get there. You won't get to the goal. Even if you know what the goal is. There's a method to my madness. Just bear with me. And then, you know, it actually started last night on the dining room table where I'm staying at the Institute House. There is this little, you know, day-by-day meditation on Trinama. So the one for yesterday evening was from Bhagavatam 6-18, purport. If a field of straw or dry grass is set afire, either by an elderly man who knows the power of fire or by a child who does not know, the grass will be burned to ashes. Similarly, one may or may not know the power of the chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, but if one chants the holy name, he will become free from all sinful reactions. So that gets a big wow. All sinful reactions. According to the teaching, this is Yamaraj instructing the Yamadutas. This is from that section. That's Abbas chanting, the kind of chanting that we do. So what's the goal? Is that the goal? It's like, what's heaven? And what's the kingdom of God? And what is Krishna Prema? What are we doing? So I was thinking, from that verse, yasya prasada bhagavat prasada, yasya aprasada, aprasada means no mercy, nagatikatopi. If you don't get the mercy of the spiritual master, you won't get the goal. And then samsaradava nadadita loka, that's the first line. You just stay in the cycle of birth and death. You just stay in the cycle of birth and death. Then I was thinking, How many millions of lifetimes we've been going at it? Like, you know, yesterday evening, many of you have been to Gitanagari before. I've been to Gitanagari many times before. How many lifetimes have we been practicing devotional service and doing what we're attempting to do this retreat of enter more deeply into an active relationship with Krishna? And how well are we doing? You know, from a 1 to a 10, how well are we doing? How many more lifetimes do we need to be in complacency? Excuse me by my mood this morning. How many lifetimes? How many lifetimes? And then I was sort of chanting japa, and, you know, Kinjanagari is wonderful. One of the things, it's outside the city. There's so much nature. So on one door, on one side, there's this spider just like hanging out on the door, on the window pane. And over on that side, there's one of those bugs with 18 legs and this hard shell on his back. And then I was thinking, Prabhupada said, we should understand that we have, before coming to this human form of life, we have passed through all the different species of life. I was thinking, how many lifetimes? All those impressions, according to the teaching, the Vedic teaching, they're stored. Like, you know, we don't even, the machine is just moving the soul from one situation to another situation, and in the next situation, new impressions. And in the human form of life, we're making choices, and with those choices, we're bound to conditional life, and it's carrying us to whatever the next destination is. The subtle body carries us to the next gross body. And fortunately, if we engage in devotional service, we'll get another human body. It won't be the bug or the spider or the zillions of rabbits that are around here, and, you know, so many different lives and species and varieties. And so, human form of life, is that the goal? Go to heaven, whatever people think that is that the goal? Salvation, is that the goal? What does even salvation mean? Ask people, it's a whole bunch of different things. What's the goal and how to get there? We're very fortunate. We're so fortunate. We have association of a pure devotee who's in the line of disciplic succession, who uniquely empowered by Krishna to give a clear understanding of the goal and the means to reach it. Let us appreciate, feel grateful, and move with the opportunity given to us during this weekend closer. So I was also thinking during Mangal Arati, as we were dancing, it's not just dancing like it's fun. With each step, it's closer to Krishna. It's a different kind of dancing. If we're, you know, if the light's on, if we're conscious, it's dancing for the pleasure of Radha Damodar. That's the kind of dancing that takes you closer to an active relationship with the personality of God and the holy name. Consciously moving in that relationship, conducting all of our activities and in that consciousness, and the holy name is such a process. So, this particular retreat is, at least at the banner, the headline is a little different than the other retreats, not just a japa retreat, it's a japa and kirtan retreat. And the title of this morning's presentation is Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam, the first verse of Shikshastakam. Sankirtan literally means chanting together. Kirtan, san, together. So that's, you know, congregational chanting. And this nice retreat situation is a different type of chanting. It's japa, but combining, because we're going to do both. Chanting japa together and chanting kirtan together. The door has been opened. Krishna is inviting us. Come closer into a very vibrant and active relationship with me. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the giver of the holy name, is giving us the GPS, like the means to get there. to that intimate relationship with Krishna. It's the holy name. And now going back to this example of whether an adult that understands fire or a child that doesn't understand fire, fire acts. The chanting of the holy name acts, whether we understand it or don't understand it, but the maturing of our Krishna consciousness is Lord Chaitanya is giving us the understanding of what's going on, how is it working, a spiritual science of the goal and how to get there, step by step. And these are seven steps just in this first verse. And one last point before I launch is Bhaktivinod Thakur, whose picture is just above Mother Kalini's head there in the back. In case you don't know who Mother Kalini is, there she is. And Bhaktivinod Thakur with a nice beard from Chaturmasya observance and his chanting of the holy name, explained in one book, Bhajana Rahasya, that these verses by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, these eight shiksha, his eight instructions, they're about the chanting of the holy name and how to achieve the topmost love, the love of the residents of Vrindavan for Krishna through the chanting of the holy name. That's the gift of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he's explaining how to get there in these verses. So it's meant as a guide or a complement or an augment or something that in addition to the chanting of the holy name, it will direct you to Krishna. Of course, Krishna is already there. His holy name is not different than himself. Krishna is already in our heart, so what are we looking for? He's already there. But the conscious awareness and the intimacy of the relationship, it's that guidance of making the heart ready to receive that relationship, even if that's our sankalpa, our intention. This is to get us there. So the presentation this morning is not just an academic one, it's purposefully a meditative one, or something that can help guide the heart. Direction, guide, direction, so that you reach the goal. Have a clearer understanding of the goal and reach the goal. So these are wonders or glories of the process. And they're joined with, or in Prabhupada's language, we are to enter into the mood of the message. Contemplate, not the mind goes away from the holy name while you contemplate these messages, but you contemplate these messages and it helps one go to the holy name. So hopefully you can read what it says. Can we turn the lights down? Okay. Yes. Together we can chant. Cheto darpanam arjanam bhava mahadhavagni nirvapanam shreya kairava chandrika vidharanam vidyavadho jivanam anandam bodhivardhanam pratipadam purnamritasvadanam Sarvatmas napanam param vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. And here is the translation that you don't always find in our songbooks, because the translation in our songbooks are Achyutananda Swamis and some other people. This is Prabhupada's translation. It's very sweet. I'll just read it myself. Glory to the Sri Krishna Sankirtan, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years and extinguishes the fire of conditional life of repeated birth and death. This Sankirtan movement is the prime benediction for humanity at large because it spreads the rays of the benediction moon. It is the light of all transcendental knowledge. It increases the ocean of transcendental bliss, and it enables us to fully taste the nectar for which we are always anxious. So these are the seven wonders, or one by one we're going to go through them. Their mahima, their glories, or wonders, or sequential, step by step, guides to appreciate what is happening when we chant the holy name, setting fire to the straw and the field of grain, it burns. So how is that process working? It's a transcendental science. Here's the word for word. I'm just going to take the first line, Chaita Darpana Marjanam, the first glory or wonder of the holy name. And Chaita Darpana Marjanam. These are the three words. Marjana means cleansing, just like in our Mangalarti song. Mandira Marjanado. Marjana means cleansing. You cleanse the temple, you cleanse your heart. And the Darpanam, Prabhupada is translated as mirror. Chaita is heart or consciousness. The heart, the mirror of the heart, becomes cleansed when chanting. I'm going to use two little examples to help amplify this. A mirror is something that reflects something else. So the heart is like a mirror. But when a mirror is dusty, and you hold the mirror up in front of yourself or some object, what do you see? You see dust. And how much dust is there on the mirror of the heart? A lot of dust. 3 miles thick. So you start removing some dust, and then there's more dust, and 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 there's more dust. Prabhupada once said, dealing with you Western devotees, it's like washing a lump of coal. How do you wash a lump of coal? You wash and it just gets black, and keep washing, it's just black and black and black. Miles of dust. I mean, picture in your mind, 3 miles of dust. We got a lot of work to do. Chaito Darpanam Marjanam. And by the process of chanting the holy name, it acts. Even if we don't understand how it acts, it acts. And here's how it's initially. It's cleansing. Marjanam. Just, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Okay, there's a little bit of dust. Now then another one. And keep cleansing. Chaito Darpanam. So you can meditate on the fact that as you're vibrating the sound and hearing the sound, the mirror of the heart is being cleansed so that you can actually see yourself in the mirror, in your heart. You can see the soul, the real self. Just as I was speaking yesterday evening on that verse from Canto 1, Chapter 2 of the process of remembering Krishna, or remembrance of Krishna, comes from the cleansing and reaching this real self, the inner self, who we really are, spirit soul, in a relationship with, we're not just spirit soul, but spirit soul in a relationship with Krishna. That's who we are. That's who we are. And all these other things, it's just underbrush. There was a time, Kitanagri Das and Mother Kalini will certainly remember, when that area where those trees are was just brush. It was like overgrown. Remember? And you know, it was a big festival to like clear that stuff out, you know, like a machete, and you know, hack away, and weed whackers were getting broken because it was so thick. And so the attachments, the attachments that we have to our material existence, the dust that's on our heart, we're attached to it. It's like, that's us. Keep chanting. Cheto darpana marjanam. And recognize that that's actually what's happening. So, glory to the Sri Krishna Sankirtan, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years. The illustration here is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates cleansing the Gundicha temple. In that lila described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's specifically described by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. The lila was preparing the Gundicha mandir for Lord Chaitanya to come. Because after he leaves the Jagannath temple and goes down the grand road, he goes to the Gundicha temple, but he's not going to go there unless it's clean. It's his place. In fact, he eternally resides there, but he makes his personal form visible after the place is made clean. So cleansing the temple is cleansing one's heart. Chanting the holy name, simply because as they were cleansing, they didn't say anything but Krishna, Krishna. That's what the lila describes. Somebody wanted some water. Krishna, Krishna. Somebody wanted a broom. Krishna, Krishna. And all it was Krishna, Krishna. Preparing for Krishna to appear in one's heart is this process. Cheto darpana marjanam. Now, there's a nice translation that I came across that's not a literal translation of this phrase. It's a essence translation. So I find it very inspiring, and you may find it also if in the course of chanting japa during this weekend or after this weekend, you take the GPS out and navigate your way towards the goal. The message of this Chaita Darpana Marjanam is the chanting of Krishna's name is a purifying agent that cleanses our hearts of envy, the root cause of our descent to this world, and other bad qualities we have since acquired, like lust, greed, and anger. So, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna states there are reasons why we come to this world, raga and dvesha. Dvesha is this one, envy. We don't like the fact that Krishna is the enjoyer. And why is that? Because we want to be the enjoyer. So it's double-edged. We want to sit on the throne, like his Prabhupada's example. The citizen sees the king sitting on the throne and he's envious. I want to sit on the throne. And there's an obstacle. Someone else is sitting on the throne. That's dvesha. Because of that, one comes to this material world. And with that dvesha towards Krishna comes envy towards other people that have some situation that we consider to be an enjoyable situation. We become envious of those persons. But it's really envious of Krishna. Envy of others is nothing but envy of Krishna. And that's in the heart. That's what brings us to the material world, and then once we plop ourselves down in the material world, we become infected by diseases such as lust, greed, and anger. But the root problem is why we came to this material situation to begin with. The chanting of the holy name roots that out from the potency is there to do that. So, two things, just on this note. There's a very nice pastime. During the previous Gita Nagari retreat, the theme, this was in May, Memorial Weekend, was expanding, increasing loving relationships amongst the devotees. So, one of the topics that we discussed was to have a loving relationship to begin with, we need to make ourselves trustworthy. Some of you were here and remember that. And then we went through there are ways that I can become more trustworthy and thus eligible for a loving relationship with others. And what we did was we took each of those items and then described pastimes of Krishna, or the Bhagavatam stories, or our devotional teachings that illustrate how this quality of trustworthiness, but each one, is displayed through the histories of the Puranas, Mahabharata and Bhagavatam. So a history that illustrates this one very nicely, just replicating that experience, is Daksha. Both appearances of Daksha, because Daksha didn't learn from one lifetime, so he got another lifetime, and he still didn't learn in his next lifetime. So Daksha part one, he was envious of his brother, because they had the same father. The same father was Lord Brahma. And Daksha was a Brahmana. And he was very, you know, really good at fruitive activities, karmakanda. Really good. But here's his brother-in-law, excuse me, his son-in-law, who is also the brother of Daksha, but Daksha had a daughter, Sati. Brahma said, marry your daughter to Lord Shiva, your brother. He didn't say no, but he really didn't want to do that. But he did it under the order of Brahma. But he just didn't like Lord Shiva because he was envious of him, because he was honored so much. But externally, you know, he's not like me. Like, you know, he should be like me. Then he's a worthy son-in-law. So anyway, so many details of the Leela, but because of that envy that was in his heart, he started all kinds of bad things. His anger, his pride, his harsh speech. So many bad things, flowing from the one thing, his envy. And he got chastised. He got his head cut off. And then another head put on instead, a goat's head. It was very embarrassing. Because previously he was very beautiful, and then he became Mr. Goat. He died of shame. But after he died, so he had been freed from the reaction, just like this example of the holy name can free one from all the reactions of one's sinful activities. So he was freed from the reaction of his sinful activity of offending Lord Shiva. And he thanked Lord Shiva for punishing him that way so he would be freed from that reaction. But he still had envy in his heart. The root problem wasn't taken away. even, you know, lost his head, very severely punished. That's, you know, what a prayaschit to that one is. Atonement for one's sins. So in his next life, he's still envious. He's envious of Narada. So what's the solution to this thing that's keeping us in the material world? What's the solution? Cheto darpana marjanam. Recognizing this holy name, it's my shelter. That which, who knows how many lifetimes has been keeping me again and again and again, and I'm trying, and I keep getting knocked down and trying and getting knocked down, and another birth, and maybe not even trying so hard, just another birth. Just still trying, trying to be the enjoyer of all I survey. At least some part of it. It's insidious. Cheto darpana marjanam. Continue the chanting of the holy name, receiving this mercy that is coming from the holy name. And get your magnifying glass out, your sankalpa, and place it on the heart and let that mercy come into the heart. Recognize what great fortune we have. Not mechanical, devotional chanting with meditation upon the mercy of this name that we're chanting. To the very root cause of our material existence, it can be removed. Not just the sinful reactions and, you know, still be in the mood of an enjoyer. So, next. Bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam. So, we're used to hearing this word bhava pronounced differently because it's a different word. Bhava. Very different word. Bhava is ecstasy, and bhava is this place, material existence. And agni, we know what agni is. Agni is fire. And dava agni is a forest fire. Maha dava agni, blazing forest fire. And material existence is compared to a blazing forest fire. Just anybody that's, we've all been living in the United States, pretty much. Yeah, everyone has been here. So it's been a really tough summer because lots of fires, different places. And they're trying to stop. There was a devotee, there still is a devotee, living in Colorado, near the place where that big fire was. And they were describing to me what that experience was. Like, so they were on the south side of the city and the fire was coming from the north, northwest side of the city. And way over on the other side of the city, they could feel the heat. And around the area, it was 90 degrees. With the fire, it was a lot more than 90 degrees. You could feel the waves of the heat from the other side of the city. And people were panicking. You know, and then to make it worse, this 40 mile an hour, 50 mile an hour wind, they had it kind of under control, and this big wind came and everybody was panicking. So somehow something happened. I don't know what happened after that, but this devotee was sharing. Everyone's freaking out. The roads are jammed with cars, just like trying to get out with their dogs and their, you know, whatever they can put in their car. Very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. Not just Smokey the Bear says. It's, you know, anybody that's been through that, it's very dangerous. And the material existence is compared. What can put it out? The downpour of rain can put it out. And the downpour of rain is not just the cause that got us to material existence, but the continuation, the continued tendency to, and the residual, excuse me, the residual tendency from all of our past activities. So the chanting of the holy name extinguishes the fire of conditional life, of repeated birth and death. There's a nice verse, one of many, in Bhagavad Gita, the last of the chapter of Shloki verses, where Krishna describes to Arjuna that the residual tendency, like the blades of fan continue to spin even after you cut the electricity, because there's momentum, or the law of inertia just has a tendency to keep in motion. So the tendency, even after our material activities stop, and even after the envy and other impure things are removed, there's still this residual tendency from our previous activity. What about that? Maybe that could kick in and take over again. It's something like, I won't get too graphic, if I had more time I would, but if there's some place that's contaminated, vomit or stool or something, and you can clean it up, and what happens? There's still this bad smell. Yes. That's our material existence, is bad smell. Residual tendency. The continuation of, even though we're not doing it now, back there, there was, you know, this conditional life just ruling our existence. And so we removed it, but it doesn't kick in again. We need mercy. This downpour of mercy. Bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam. It extinguishes that blazing fire of material existence, conditional life. Because that keeps the whole machine going. Repeated birth and death, samsara. Oops. As it purifies the heart, Krishna's name, so Cheto Darpana Marjanam, as it purifies the heart, Krishna's name also protects the sincere chanters from any further contamination from the worldly energy and those affected by it, because there's the condition of our heart and there's the atmosphere in which we find ourselves, and it's polluted. It smells. It stinks. It's not nice. And here we are, because we bought into the invitation. Come to the material world and enjoy. Yeah, that's a good program. Let me go to the material world and... whoops, where's the enjoyment? And then we're stuck, because there's this contamination. So the holy name eliminates that. Avatam Gyanam Etena Gyanino Nitya Vairina. This verse is being Kama Rupena. The Kama Rupena, the form, rupa, of Kama, lust, desire. It's Dushparena Analena Cha. Analena is very similar to Agni. Mahadavagni. Analena is fire. It burns like fire. And it's never satisfied. Dushparena. Analena cha. You can't get enough of suffering. Enough of material happiness. But the invitation for material happiness is a sucker punch. Come on and enjoy me. Come on and enjoy me, so I can kick you in the face. That's Prabhupada speaking. That's Maya beckoning. Come on and enjoy me. Come on and enjoy me so I can kick you in the face. The promise of material happiness ends up the opposite. It's happiness in the mode of passion. In the beginning it looks very nice. And very quickly it turns very bitter. Like poison. It's deadly. Come on and enjoy me. You know, it's marketing. Prabhupada would speak about, kind of joking way, but condemning way, that you know, smoke cool. You put a fire stick in your mouth and smoke cool. Fools. Etc. You know, it doesn't matter what it is. The nature of Maya is like that. So that contaminating atmosphere where even we're trying and chanting, trying in the right way, the atmosphere is so contaminating. So what do? Krishna! Just like this painting. When the cowherd boys were surrounded by the forest fire. Krishna! So, what did Krishna do? He said, close your eyes. You're in for a big surprise. And what did he do? He just inhaled. Try it. There's a forest fire. Tell everybody to close their eyes and inhale. He's all powerful. As he created the fire, he withdrew it just like that. Just like that. Krishna can do that. He can do that always. But do we want that? How strongly do we? So the awakening of a desire to be situated in that active relationship with Krishna, that he invited us to come closer to him. Say yes and keep saying yes as we enter our 64 round day tomorrow. Get your GPS out. Cheto darpana marjanam bhavamaha. Call out to Krishna. Bhavamahadava. Because you're calling his name. This potency of Krishna. Please, this contaminating atmosphere and the residual tendencies of my heart, please protect me. He will. If you invite him, say yes. Krishna will. And keep saying yes. Don't do a U-turn. Keep saying yes. Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vidharanam. Shreya is a nice word. Shreya, good fortune. It's long-term good fortune. One of the early Sanskrit lessons I learned from Prabhupada was the Shreyas and Prayas message. Shreyas is long-term and Prayas is immediate, like a child. I want something, and if they don't get that something, they throw a tantrum. I want. So, okay, here it is. Then long-term is you defer that for something long-term, short-term for long-term. Shreya. Kairava is translated as a white lotus. In this age of Kali, it's a time of darkness. There's not light. So the lotus, the image of a lotus is many times compared to the heart. And at night, a lotus closes when the sun sets. Maybe some of you have seen this. I remember specifically being in Mayapur and chanting japa early in the morning at a remote place with some other devotees. And there was a pond and there were some lotuses, and as the sun rose, the lotuses opened. And at night, the lotuses close. So at night, in the night of the age of Kali, our hearts close. But Chandrika, the brilliant moonshine, opens the lotus of the heart. And Vitaranam, it expands, not just opens. But the white lotus of Shreya, good fortune, long-term, ultimate good fortune, Shreya Uttama. What is that, the white lotus of good fortune? It's the soul's innate tendency to serve Krishna, to have feelings of love for Krishna. Those become awakened just by Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. Naturally, the potency is there. Do we want that? Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam. Get your GPS out while you're chanting and assist the chanting by this appreciation of what the Holy Name is doing. As you're chanting, the Sankirtan movement is the prime benediction for humanity at large because it spreads the rays of the benediction moon. This essence translation of that phrase, Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam. Chanting awakens pure devotion to Krishna, the soul's dormant propensity to serve the Lord with love. And further chanting revives the loving devotion that qualifies one for the greatest good fortune, Krishna's association. In stages, first serve. Like this question last night, when we're chanting, should we chant with the aspiration of Krishna Prema? Chant for the aspiration of just be a humble devotee, to be in that mood of wanting, without recognition, without fanfare, without anything other than just that experience, the private, within your heart, experience of being in a relationship with Krishna, serving Him. And continue. And what will happen? The direct association of Krishna, you will palpably feel it. Experience it, if properly guided by Lord Chaitanya's wonderful instructions. There are lots of people today that are chanting that don't have guidance and training. So there's benefits, certainly, but to achieve these things, one needs Lord Chaitanya's guidance or those that are in the line of Lord Chaitanya guiding. And then take that guidance in your heart, take the message that my sincere, heartfelt desire to serve Krishna, to love Krishna, serve Krishna lovingly, that just means let him be pleased. I remember speaking with some of our younger devotees as they were becoming more experienced in kirtan, and some discussion about what should be the mood, because the tendency is show off. I mean, you know, hey, look at me. I can sing, I can do, I know lots of melodies. Look at, I'm practicing. So I can get the attraction and the appreciation of others, and that's not satisfying to Krishna, and therefore it's not satisfying to us. So what to do? Satisfy, meditate upon, let Krishna be pleased. Let us sing Krishna's holy name and dance before the deity so that Krishna will be pleased. And there's so much strength in that, so much protection, so much satisfaction. Because there's satisfaction, the other things go away. When light is on, the darkness doesn't come in. You don't keep the light on, darkness comes in. It's Kali Yuga. We'll be victimized by our own good efforts. to become proud of ourselves, of what we can do. It goes on like that. Take protection from Lord Chaitanya's guiding us so we don't fall into that pitfall. We continue to go further and further. Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam. Go there. Now, time is up. So, that's only 3 of the 7. So we'll continue next session. Let's stop there and see if there's any comments or questions. Yes, Sri Radhika. Could you turn the light on again? So that's a comment or a question? How do we increase? You exercise your gratitude muscle. Gratitude therapy. Practice it. You know, so one of the first essentials is to receive. Because without receiving, you can't feel gratitude. So open the heart and receive. And then let that which you receive touch the heart. And then you'll feel something. It's called gratitude. So selfish is not, the heart is closed. I'm, you know, just taking. You know, like a child. You know what that's like. they're attention machines. 24/7. Me. You know, it's never enough. More, you know, anyway. But neglecting isn't the answer. It's how to impart a sense of gratitude. That takes one who has a sense of gratitude to impart that. It's not mechanical. So, how to, from our side, is you open the heart and you look at that which you have received. That's what's going on here, like Lord Chaitanya is describing. This is what this gift is. Wow. And then you contemplate, you practice contemplating, what is this gift? And you recognize its value, and it's something's going to happen. It will touch your heart, because your heart opened, it will touch your heart, and you'll feel something. And then when you feel something, then the next step is you stay there for some time and then express it. You can express it by your action, you can express it by your words, you can express it by your service. A common question that comes up, recently it just came up again, somebody was asking, how do you stay, you know, without Prabhupada's association? Prabhupada disciples understand this question. How do you stay so fixed without, you know, something keeps you fixed? It's that sense of having received something that's unlimitedly valuable, and the gratitude to the person from whom we received that. And frankly, all of us have received that. That's what unites us in Krishna consciousness, or ISKCON, is from our founder Acharya. We have all received something so wonderful. And that is to be, you know, that relationship and the sense of gratitude is to be encouraged within the whole of ISKCON, regardless of what generation one is. And recognizing what it is that I've received, what can I do to give to that person from whom I received it? Well, one thing is develop it. You know, take the seed and cultivate the seed. That's something that would be very pleasing to the person who gave the seed. Do that very diligently in the mood of, this is an offering to you. And cultivate the gratitude through service, through words, through, you know, the ongoing acknowledgement. It grows, the gratitude garden. The inhibitor is this tendency to be selfish, you know, just accumulate things. Look at this one, look at that one, I've got so much pride. Without acknowledging where it came from and the kindness of the person that gave whatever it is. And if I have that, then I'm protected. And feeling something else instead of pride and feeling gratitude. Let me repay. And I can't repay. It's a lifetime. It's an eternal life of love. That's where gratitude grows into love. And if that gets inhibited by these other coverings, even I may be chanting, the reactions from my past sins may be eradicated, but the Shreya Kairava Chandrika isn't going to manifest. I'm still, it's all about me. Very sad, very unfortunate. Become fortunate. Shreya, great fortune. Receive it. Something else? I got the first part, and then your voice, you went real fast, I couldn't catch you.
Oh, sorry. I was saying you were giving the example of those who are kirtan, that the mentality could be, oh, look at me, I have all these, you know,
yes.
But then you said something very significant. You were speaking about how that doesn't please Krishna, that doesn't please us, the devotees. So I was wondering in our own lives, as we were carrying on our services for the devotees,
One answer is, is it something that sustains? In other words, my response is, when in fact Krishna is being pleased, that's a sustainable position. And it's not, it's less the, you know, pleased, displeased, or, you know, I'm happy, you know, oh, now I'm unhappy. It's just simply in a humble mood, continuing to try to extend oneself with whatever it is, the resource that Krishna has given for Krishna's happiness. It's sustainable or steady. That's one criterion. You know, because the other things, if it's out of pride, then, you know, it doesn't stay. It's up and down. Because it's that which is from a position of purity, it's not for me, it's for Krishna. That's pleasing to Krishna. And if it's for me, then it's intermittent at best. On again, off again. So, it's something like nishtha, steady, nashta prayeshu abhadreshu. You know that verse, yes? Nashta prayeshu abhadras. The inauspicious things of the heart are nearly destroyed, practically destroyed to nil. So then that's the stage of steadiness, nishtha. So the exhibition is something where continuously, in whatever the circumstances, I'm thinking about the satisfaction of Krishna and those that are guiding me in my Krishna consciousness. Because if I just, like, put on the blinders to those that are guiding me in Krishna consciousness, that's not pleasing to Krishna. So what are those who are guiding me in Krishna consciousness? Not like I have a private life. But before Krishna, how to reach Krishna is, it's like this example of, you know, salvation or attaining heaven, and what's the goal? I don't even know what the goal is, because I'm not under the guidance of somebody. I'm chanting. I'm reading this very elevated teaching, pure devotional service. And meanwhile, I've got my own program going on. And it goes on. I mean, it goes on more common than the other one goes on. So what's to bring me back to that which is going to get me to Krishna? It's guidance from those that are accomplished and from whom I take their guidance. So that's another indicator that those relationships of those who are guiding me, they're strong. And I'm submissive to them. I mean, I value them. And I'm aligning myself with those instructions that I've received. Naturally, that's pleasing to Krishna. He likes that. He says it. He likes that. And that's what I want. I want what Krishna wants. I want Krishna to be pleased. So if I got my own program going on, it causes disturbance to my heart and to those around me. But, you know, I'm ambitious for my program. And I may get some pats on the back. Oh, you did a nice whatever. But it's, you know, it's a disturbance. In the long run, we're the one that is impaired the most from that. We're so fortunate. We have Prabhupada's teachings. We have persons that have so much fidelity in the course of their lives of assimilating Prabhupada's teachings. Let us take guidance from those persons. And if I'm not in that aligned position, something else is going on. My program is going on. And as Prabhupada would say, this is going on. Okay, I'm going to end. It's time for breakfast. See you back here at... What's the schedule say? 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock for kirtan, right? Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.